Well, turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. We're in the midst of this very exciting chapter, as we have seen, different for a number of reasons, and yet it fits so appropriately with the book of Ezra and helps to set the theme of the book. This morning I'm going to read verses 11 through 28 because of the importance and impact they have. I invite you to turn there in your copy of the Scriptures and follow along with me as we read from God's inspired, preserved Word for today. Let's turn to Ezra 7 and beginning at verse 11. Now this is the copy of the decree which King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra, the priest, the scribe, learned in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace. And now I have issued a decree that any of the people of Israel and their priests and the Levites in my kingdom who are willing to go to Jerusalem, they may go with you. For as much as you are sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of your God which is in your hand, and to bring silver and gold which the king and his conquerors or his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, with all the silver and gold which you find in the whole province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests who offered willingly for the house of their God which is in Jerusalem, with this money, therefore, you shall diligently buy bulls, rams, and lambs with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God which is in Jerusalem. Whatever seems good to you and to your brothers to do, and the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. Also the utensils which are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem. The rest of the needs for the house of your God, for which you may have occasion to provide, provide it for them from the royal treasury. I, King Artaxerxes, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the provinces beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, may require of you, it shall be done diligently, even up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil, and salt as needed, whatever is commanded by the God of heaven. Let it be done with zeal for the house of the God of heaven, so that there will not be wrath against the kingdom of the king and his sons. We also inform you that it is not allowed to impose tax, tribute, or toll on any of the priests, Levites, singers, doorkeepers, Nethinim, or servants of this house of God. You, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God, which is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges that they may judge all the people who are in the province beyond the river, even all those who know the laws of your God. And you may teach anyone who is ignorant of them. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed upon him strictly, whether for death or for banishment, or for confiscation of goods, or for imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing in the king's heart, to adorn the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and has extended loving kindness to me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. Thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. Selah. May I remind us this is God's Word, and we need to look at it with the eyes of the Lord through the means of His Holy Spirit working in us as He would illumine what these words say and what they mean to us for our daily lives. And all God's people say, Amen. 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 The incredible faithfulness of God. That's what we've been looking at in the book of Ezra. And today we come to the life that God blesses. The life that God blesses. We've seen that Ezra 7 is kind of a high point in the book of Ezra. It changes gears in a sense from the first six chapters, and it's different than the chapters that follow in 8, 9, and 10, because it's the first time we meet Ezra. And I hope that you caught something in my voice change as I read the scripture. I read pretty hurriedly through Artaxerxes, but with a little bit more emphasis. But a change comes in verses 27 and 28. Because 27 and 28 introduces even more to Ezra. It's Ezra's words in response to that letter. In response to the decree that Artaxerxes had given. We're given insight into what a person is like that is one that God blesses. Who does God bless? What kind of life does He bless? And chapter 7 stands as another great picture of a reminder of 2 Timothy 2, that all Scripture is inspired and is profitable for us. It's profitable for teaching, to show us how to get on the right track. But when we get off track, it is there to give us reproof, to show us that we're off the track, but then to provide the correction, how to get back on the track. By the way, parents, that's godly discipline. It's one thing to reprove someone, a child especially, but it's more important to show the correction, not only to show that you're off the track, but how to get back on the track. But then following that, we need the training for an ongoing process of how to stay on the track. And Ezra 7 paints a picture of the kind of person that God blesses, one who understands what the Word of God can do. To teach, to reprove, to correct, and to train. But that's a sermon for another day. Let's get on with Ezra 7 and realize that we've seen in chapter 7 in verse 10 the theme of Ezra. It all builds around what I like to call 7-10 followers. Have you been a 7-10 follower this week? You say, what in the world do you mean by that? What is a 7-10 follower? A 7-10 follower follows the words of Ezra 7-10. Ezra set his heart to seek or to study the law, the Torah, the Word of God that he had available. He studied it, and then he set his heart to practice it, and then he set his heart to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. He had set his heart, as Old Testament writer Derek Kidner says, Ezra becomes a model in that what he taught, he had first lived. And what he lived, he had first made sure of in the Scriptures. He sought to know the Word, he sought to live the Word, and he sought to teach the Word. That's a 7-10 follower. And we discover in Ezra, that's the kind of follower the Lord blesses. Ezra set his heart to study so it would control his conduct. And then he could share his teaching from God's Word. Now, verses 11 through 26, something very interesting. Are you ready? Fasten your seat belts. People have heard of Sherman through Georgia. Here's Hogan through Ezra 7. Hang on. Notice this authorization that we read. And I read it intentionally the way I did because it is incredible to see the faithfulness of God in ministering to this little group of people who've been held captive. Some of them have been able to go back to Jerusalem and the work hasn't been finished. And now there's another group that needs to go. Imagine being those who've been and with all of their ancestors in that captivity for 70 years. And now they're getting the chance to go back to Jerusalem. Where are they going to get the money? Where are they going to get all the expertise they need to do the work? How are they going to be able to minister to the people? And all of a sudden they get this decree from King Artaxerxes. And here is this authorization. And notice some of the things that it points out. And let me just summarize it by saying, first of all, it gave promise of provisions for all their temple worship. All of the things that were required in terms of the utensils and the people and the finances, everything that was necessary, the king was providing it. The king authorized the provisions for that temple worship. And if you look carefully and read between the lines, he was also authorizing all the teaching that Ezra needed to do to bring back to their minds what God had said, what God had commanded. Do you notice in just the first few verses it's repeated twice? Ezra, the scribe and the priest. He was the one that was well trained in the word. After all, he was the one that set his heart to know it, to practice it, and to teach it. And the king now is giving him full authorization. I got to thinking about that in terms of our day. Wouldn't it be interesting to get some proclamation from the governor of the state of Alabama saying, here's all the provision you need for carrying on your worship services to teach about your God in your church. Woo! Wouldn't we rejoice at that? Think about those reasons. And go to the treasury for anything that you may need. Woo! Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now think about how Ezra must have felt. We're going to find out how he thinks in the chapter. But the king promised provisions for the temple worship. Notice his seven controllers or counselors were involved. That may have been Artaxerxes' supreme court, the ones that helped to rule in all of those extended lands, the land beyond the river, speaking of beyond the Euphrates, moving all the way from Babylon, all the way over to Judah and to Jerusalem. And that whole extent, and all of those counselors, they were in agreement. Wow! Wouldn't that be something new to see in Washington? To have agreement between the various, quote-unquote, heads of state and different areas. To have them agree. Promised provisions for temple worship. But there was not only provisions promised. Notice the authorization, as I've already mentioned, of funds from the treasury. I issue a decree, verse 21, to all the treasurers who are in the provinces. Whatever the law of God requires, do it, Ezra. It's to be done diligently, and whatever you need will be supplied by those treasurers. Can you imagine having a budget, being able to spend up to 100 talents of silver? 100 talents of silver would be about 120,000 ounces. Friday, silver was going for $15.52 an ounce. That's $1,862,400. By our count today. And that's just part of it. We won't go through in detail the entire cost, but if you look at 100 coors of wheat, that's about 600 bushels. As of Friday, wheat on the market was $230.20 per bushel. That amounts to another $138,120. Imagine Ezra being told, whatever you need, whatever the Lord your God requires, do it. Charge the treasury. They are to cover it. And notice it says, and it's to be done diligently. Not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. By the way, it's rather interesting to go back to Exodus chapter 12 when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, you remember? After the time of the Passover in Exodus 12, verse 35, they requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they let them have their request. But it wasn't nearly the amount that Artaxerxes proposed. Exodus 12 goes on to say, and so they plundered the Egyptians. And after the things that had happened to provide for the children of Israel to leave Egypt. But notice as well, in Ezra 7, this authority to set up a judicial system. Everything is to be done for zeal for the house of God of heaven, and there will not be any wrath against the kingdom of the king and his sons. He wanted things to go well spiritually as well as physically, and that they obey their God so that there would be nothing that would come down against his kingdom. Interesting the way the Lord provided. He told them that they were to follow the law of his God, follow the commands, follow the wisdom of God. And he was speaking about the Torah. What does the word Torah mean to you? If you hear the word Torah, what is it? When it says the law of God in these texts, it uses the word the Torah. The first five books. What you see on the screen is one type of a synagogue set up for holding the Torah, holding the scrolls that contained the Torah. Some of you have seen some of the large containers, perhaps, very ornate in some design, containing the scrolls, a picture of the scroll on the right-hand side of the screen. That was the Torah. And whatever that Torah says, the king says, instruct your people. We don't want anybody not to know about it. Wow! Ezra is given a clean slate to go in, and he's given the open door to share God's Word. When you think of Torah, you need to think of the law of God. That is all of the things that are described in the first part of the Torah. But it also speaks of the wisdom of God. Even the king says, and the wisdom of your God direct you. The wisdom of God speaks of the revelation that's given there of who God is and what He's doing. But there are also the instructions, the specific how-to steps. God had said, if you do this, I will bless you. If you do this, there will not be any blessing. And the king is saying, you develop whatever process you need to develop so that they become obedient to the law of God and to the wisdom of God. You follow your God's instructions so there will not be any wrath against you or against us. What an interesting way the Lord used this king to provide for the ministry of Ezra. The wisdom of God speaks of the revelation of God, the instruction of God. It also speaks of the commands of God, the specific commands. So the letter or decree details the provisions, and it gives the authorization for him to go and to establish the worship as God had commanded. Now, how would you feel if you'd been Ezra? Think for a minute if you got that carte blanche kind of provision and decrees and instructions from the king. I think that probably he would remember the words of Proverbs, as God directs the streams of water, so he directs the kings. He can even use an ungodly pagan king, one who had heard something about God, but we don't have any indication that Artaxerxes ever trusted God. But he had a turn of heart, along with Cyrus and the others, that helped provide for the return to the land. We come to what I like to call Ezra's doxology. Ever sung the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Remember that? Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Didn't know I could sing soprano. But seriously, here is a doxology. Ezra could have said, wow, we've got everything we need. Let's see how much we can milk them for. We got to have this and we got to have that. We got to have this. No. He gives a personal doxology, and I want you to note it carefully. It begins with a simple statement that he blessed the Lord. Blessed be Jehovah, he says. The God of our fathers, the one who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart. He saw how God was at work in making the provisions, and he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of heaven. How do you bless somebody? Have you blessed God this week? You know what the word blessed really means? The root word for the word, it's the word barach in the Hebrew. It literally means to kneel. And it has within it the idea of coming in worship and praise and adoration, showing a humility, submission to God, and complete relying on His resources. Blessed be the Lord. A praise to God for the provision that God had made. Blessed. Submitted to God, relying upon Him, coming in a sense of humility. It's not my merit. It's not what I did. You have worked in the King to provide for us. Thank you, Lord. And he blesses the Lord's name. But not only that, notice that he acknowledged God's loving kindness. Again, a very significant and special word. We need to realize that God loves to be loyal, both in his character, as he is faithful to his word and faithful to his people. That's what Ezra does, is acknowledge that loving kindness. And it's the word chesed, spelled H-E-S-E-D in the phonetical spelling, but that H is kind of like a C-H that's said back in the back of your throat like you're gargling Listerine. Chesed. Chesed. Not too rough a gargle, but enough that a Jew will understand. You can say the word chesed to an Orthodox Jew and they'll almost break into tears because it brings to their mind God's loyalty to His commitments. It's His loyal love. The New American Standard most often translates it loving kindness. It's more than just love. It's more than just kindness. It's a love that reaches out to minister to others out of a loyalty to a commitment. It's God's enabling faithfulness. It's God's grace, all wrapped into one word. And he acknowledges that as he sees that it is God who has made the provisions. God has proved faithful to his promises. And Ezra acknowledges that loving kindness. It was God who worked in the king's heart, as Proverbs 21:1 describes. So he was strengthened. And his personal gratitude comes for the strength that he had according to the hand of God. And again, a strong word in the Hebrew for the word strengthened. It means that God has been able to have me stand. He has brought me this strength. It's the working of the hand of God. It's not my pedigree. It's not what I'm doing. It's God who is at work in me. And he recognized the strong hand of God in ministering. He was strengthened. Very unusual word that describes able to withstand. Able to stand strongly, being strengthened. Ezra blessed God in worship and adoration. He acknowledged God's loving kindness, and he gave personal gratitude that he was strengthened according to the mighty hand of God. And then it says that Ezra gathered leading men from Israel to go up to Jerusalem. A whole new kind of exodus, if you please. The exodus from Babylon. This is that journey that's going to take him over 900 miles in a 4 months period of time. It's not going to be easy, but he begins with this great doxology, holding the decree in his hand of what God had done through that king to prepare for their trip home. Okay, big deal. So what? What difference should that make to you and to me? What is the lingering lessons that we should take home from this little passage that tells about the life that God blesses? Number one, let me suggest to you, 7-10 followers keep a long view, avoiding impatience, nurturing faith, and nurturing patience, not impatience. A long view means thinking about the effects of something and what those effects are going to be in the future, not just wrapped up in the moment. Ezra had a long view. He knew there was a long journey ahead. He knew there was going to be the great work that would have to be done. He knew of the reports that were coming back of all the discouragement that was going on in Jerusalem about how much yet needed to be done, how the walls needed to be rebuilt, and how there were problems with the people disobeying the law. He knew that there was all of this yet to be done. But he had the long view. Blessed be God. God has brought us to this point. God has strengthened us with His strong arm. We can move forth in faith. So if we're going to be those 7-10 followers that are blessed of the Lord, keep a long view. Avoid impatience. Nurture faith and patience. If you don't believe that it's going to be tough, just wait till we get to chapters 8, 9, and 10. And see how this dear man faces the situations and follows through with obeying that decree from Artaxerxes. But even more important, obeying the word of the Lord and the wisdom of God. 7-10 followers also will take regular inventory of the benefits of God's good hand. As you go through Ezra, you see recorded the way the Lord had blessed, the way the Lord's hand was upon them, and the evidence is given of the benefits of having God's good hand at work in his life. 7-10 followers will take regular inventory of the benefits of God's good hand. That's why every believer should keep a journal. A journal in which you record those ways that God has worked administered in your life. Some of the most trying times in our lives recently was with that kidney stone and kidney stent back in January. During some of the times of pain, I recorded in my journal how even during that time, how God was faithful. I didn't know what God was doing, but I could see the hand of God. I go back and read those and I think, oh yeah. And you know it's hard to remember the pain now. It's hard to remember the anguish. Because as I go back and read the journal, I'm reminded of God's sustaining grace even through all of that. Take a regular inventory of the benefits of God's good hand. Write it down in your journal. It's helpful to record it, to acknowledge it. And when Thanksgiving comes around and somebody says, "What are you thankful for this year?" And you're thinking, "Oh, let's see, what the..." If you have your journal, you can go back and it will trigger those memories and trigger things that God has done down through the days of the past. Therefore, the third lingering lesson, here's a homework assignment. Before you hit the sack tonight, before you go to bed, identify how God's good hand has ministered in your life this week. Identify those things that God has done over the first few months of this year Think about God's good hand. Listen. And hear me well. We spend too much time looking at how we feel right now and about what the circumstances are right now and the decisions we got to make right now and all of this. And we don't really realize, as Ezra did, bless the Lord. Go through and remember how God's good hand is upon you and how He's working in your life. Identify God's good hand in your life. Let's just bow in a moment of silent prayer right now and begin thinking about how God is at work in your life. How God has shown His good hand in your personal life. And then praise God for that. And bless His holy name. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, for these reminders from the life of Ezra and from his words that cause us to take pause and to remember the significance and importance of praising and blessing You for Your work in our lives, recognizing Your good hand at work. Thank You, Father, for the way You're working in our lives. And for the evidences of Your good hand upon our lives. And may that increase as we seek to be like Ezra and just be a 7-10 follower. Setting our hearts to know Your word, to live it, and to teach it to the praise of Your glory. Thank You, Father, that You lead all the way as we trust You. Thank You, Father, that as we depend upon You, Your resources are sufficient to meet every need. And Your abounding grace is there available. Thank You, Father, as we pray in Jesus' name.